Well, we're going to have a bit of a look at the scriptures and try and tie some of that together for you this evening. I've entitled this little thought this evening, Compelled to Tell. Let's ask God's help. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the carols tonight. Thank you so much that we're able to sing and enjoy ourselves in purity and in love, in adoration for our Lord. Thank you for our friends that are with us tonight, other churches and individuals. Pray that you bless everyone that's here as we consider the truth of your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now you're welcome to just sit and listen the whole evening, but if you want to check verses out from the scripture, they are on your sheet. I don't know whether everyone was able to get one of those, but we gave some of those out this evening. At this time of year, our city and many other places around the world are caught up in some cultural madness. Most of that madness has only been around for about 200 years or so, for all the cultural aspects of Christmas came from about 19th century England. It is cultural and has nothing to do with Christ, even though this time of year bears the name of Christmas. Some of it is really enjoyable, isn't it? We spend time with families. We're able to catch up with people that we may not have been able to see through the rest of the year, and we get to sing carols. But sadly, for much of our society, this time of year has to do with partying and drinking and indulgence and every form of excess. So much money is wasted on gifts that we don't really need and that we are never going to use. For the ordinary family, there's a whir of activity and Christmas shopping, and then there's end-of-year events, and we end up more frazzled than at peace. I think we need to apologize to God for what we've made it. The Father did celebrate the birth of His Son, and we want to celebrate too. But there is no evidence at all that the date is the 25th of December. Since I have no better date to work with, and since I want to celebrate with the Father in the birth of His Son, we want to celebrate His birth tonight, don't we? But our celebration has more to do with joy and praise and peace than what our culture has made it. One article calls the birth of Jesus history's greatest event. Well, there's a number of contenders for that. What about the death of Jesus Christ on the cross? Could that be considered the world's greatest event? Or the resurrection of Christ? Indeed, when history is done and dusted, all the great events of history are going to have to do with the Lord Jesus. Indeed, the birth of Christ is such a great event that it needs to be told and it needs to be retold. Men and angels down through the millennia have been compelled to tell all with a different and a unique perspective on what they had to say. But they all have talked about the birth of Christ. I'd like to bring some of those announcements to you, those compulsions to tell, and we've covered some of this evening. It's all going to be brought together. I'd like to bring some of those to you in chronological order. First of all, number one, thousands of years before his birth, the very first mention, the first hint that Christ would come, it was quite a cryptic hint. You may not understand it. Moses recorded it for us. A descendant of Eve would come and die and defeat sin and Satan. God himself spoke, and these were the words that God said in Genesis 3 and verse 15. And I will put enmity between you, Satan, and the woman, and between your seed, those who follow you, and her seed, those who would be born to her. He shall bruise your head, which is a fatal wound, and he shall bruise your heel. And indeed, that first clue, the deliverer would be a man. And indeed, Jesus Christ died on a cross defeating Satan for us. The Father was compelled to tell right from the beginning, thousands of years ago. Number two, 2,000 years before Jesus' birth, the special messenger of the Lord said to Abraham in Genesis 22 and verse 18, "In your seed, in your descendants, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed." That is, all the nations would be blessed through one of the descendants of Abraham. That starts to narrow it down a bit. Not just a man, but a son of Abraham. Moses was compelled to tell of the coming deliverer who would bless the world. He would be a son of Adam and he would be a son of Abraham. Number three, 1,000 years before Jesus' birth, Samuel was compelled to tell of what God said to King David. David would have a son, a king, and his kingdom would be forever. 2 Samuel chapter 7 and verse 12, God says to David, "When your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers when you die, I will set up your seed after you, and who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. So some son would come, a king. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever." It would be an everlasting kingdom. And indeed, did you realize that both Mary was a descendant of David and Joseph was a descendant of David? If Israel still had kings at the time of Jesus' birth, he would have been the king of Israel. And indeed, Pilate put on his cross the inscription, "This is the King of the Jews." And indeed, Jesus rules today, and he will rule. Number four, 700 years before Jesus' birth, Isaiah was compelled to tell. And he said in Isaiah 7 and verse 14, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." A virgin to conceive, of course, is impossible. Born of a virgin, well, that narrows it down to one man right there. Called Emmanuel. Did you know what Emmanuel means? Emmanuel means God with us. And so this one that would come would be God in the flesh. The promised one would be both God and man, the Son of Man and the Son of God. In Isaiah added in chapter 9 and verse 6, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from this day forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." Well, that confirms all the previous prophecies given to Abraham and given to David, and adds some further detail for us. "Because his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." His wisdom is unique and deep so that he would be called Wonderful Counselor. His person, his being, Mighty God, and he would live eternally. His influence, Prince of Peace. Those who know him have his peace in their hearts. One day when this world has peace, there's no more wars, it will be through the Lord Jesus Christ. He will bring peace to the earth. Moses was compelled to tell. Samuel was compelled to tell of David. And Isaiah was compelled to tell. The Father and the Son were both compelled to tell. Number five, the Gospel writers, we're homing in on the time, aren't we? Number five, the Gospel writers, Matthew and Luke, were compelled to tell the story of the great event of the birth of the Lord Jesus. John told the story in a spiritual way, and he began before all the other gospel writers. We read in John chapter 1 and verse 1, In the beginning, at the beginning of time, there in eternity was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word is a strange name, isn't it? It makes the point that Jesus was God's message. The Word is referring to the Lord Jesus, a man who came yet fully God, according to the verses that follow. I'll read those for you. "He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made." And then of the birth of this one that existed from all eternity, when he became a man, John was absolutely compelled to tell in John 1 and verse 14, "And the Word became flesh. The Word became a man and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." In further explanation of what this one would bring, John chapter 1 and verse 9 says, "That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe on His name. Will you receive Jesus Christ into your life tonight? To as many as receive Him, to them He gives the right to become the children of God. Number six, just over 9 months before Jesus' birth, the angel Gabriel was also compelled. Hello, Asher, how are you? Okay, you can go back to mummy now. There you go. It is a family service tonight. Number six, just over 9 months before Jesus' birth, the angel Gabriel was compelled to speak of Jesus to Mary. And we read in Luke chapter 1 and verse 31, "And behold, the angel Gabriel said to Mary, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and be called Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." We keep hearing the same thing said about him, don't we? Well, that is just what the prophets had said all those thousands of years before. And now Mary realized that she was the one. She was the one prophesied by Isaiah, the one who would be a virgin and bear this son. And that's explained in the following verses, verse 34. "Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?' And the angel answered and said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God.'" So that was 9 months before the birth of Jesus. 3 to 4 months later, 6 months or so before the birth of Jesus, probably it was the angel Gabriel who also spoke to Joseph. And to Joseph he said, "And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." So all this was done, which might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated, "God with us." Here it is explained that Jesus means a Savior. He's going to save His people from their sins. So the Lord Jesus came to die, as the men just sang a little while ago. Yes, indeed, every one of us, dear friends, every one of us needs a Savior from sin. And the Lord Jesus came for each one of us. And then 6 months after that, it was probably Gabriel again that appeared to the shepherds. But we're getting a little bit ahead of ourselves. So number seven, 6 months before Jesus was born, John the Baptist was miraculously born to aged parents, Zechariah and Elizabeth. At the birth of John, Zechariah was compelled to tell of a birth, the birth of a greater one than his son. Luke chapter 1 and verse 68 says, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and has raised up a horn, that is a power of salvation, for the house of his servant David." Number eight, we can now mention the angel appearing to the shepherds in the fields at the birth of Christ. That angel was compelled to say in Luke chapter 2 and verse 10, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings, good news, of great joy, which shall be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David," that is Bethlehem, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. "And this will be the sign to you. You will find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." A host of angels then joined Gabriel, and they were compelled to tell. Luke chapter 2 and verse 13, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" Good news for men. This Jesus was yet a baby, but he was the Savior. He was the eternal King. He was the King of Kings, the one who would rule always. Who could hold back from telling? It must be told. Moses was compelled to tell. Samuel was compelled to tell. Isaiah was. John and Matthew, Mark and Luke were compelled to tell. The angel Gabriel and Zechariah were all compelled to tell of the birth of this one. None of the angels could keep quiet. As we just read in verse 14, they sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to all men." Yes, the way of peace, the Prince of Peace, had come. This was good news, beyond all good news. I notice that in news programs often have a lot of bad news. So much bad news, in fact, that they have to give human interest stories in the news programs to kind of break it down a bit. The Bible doesn't need to do that. The Bible has good news for all. What the prophets and the angels said was ultimate good news. It is the greatest news ever told. The world has bad news for us, but the Bible has good news. Number 9, nor could the shepherds hold it back. After his birth, we read how they were compelled to tell. Luke 2 and verse 17. Now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. They glorified God, they praised God for all they had seen. The sign was that the king of the universe would be in a baby's body. And that in very humble circumstances. Who would have thought it? That was the sign for who would expect it. Number 10, Simeon was compelled to tell. 40 days after the birth of the Lord Jesus, Mary and Joseph took him to the temple. It was there that Simeon saw Jesus. And Simeon said in Luke 2 and verse 30, "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples." This is a Savior for all nations, all peoples, all colors and tongues. He is a Savior for all. If at all any man will call on him, will call on his name, the Bible promises they will be saved. Saved from sin, saved from self, saved from Satan, and saved from hell. He is the Savior. Number 11, Anna, also at the temple, was compelled to tell. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 38, "And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem." So she spoke to everyone she could. She said he was the Redeemer. That is, God is the one who made us. We are rightfully his. But Satan, as it were, has stolen us away. God, through the blood of his Son, has brought us back. That the word there is redemption. He's a redeemer. And so she spoke of all in Israel who looked for redemption. She was so excited, she couldn't hold it back. Number 12, the Magi were compelled to tell. They had come to see the king, and so they came to the capital of Israel, Jerusalem. We read in Matthew 2 and verse 2, saying, "Where is he who's born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." The answer came back as they asked that question, "Where is he? Where was he born?" The answer came back in verse 5 of the same chapter, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for it is written by the prophet that you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who shall shepherd my people Israel." The prophet who wrote that, as David mentioned, was the prophet Micah. He was a contemporary of Isaiah. He lived 700 years before the birth of Christ, and he said where he would be born. And so we read in verse 11, "And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when he had opened when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." They were treasures. He was born in humble circumstances, but he had royal recognition, and by the Magi he was given gifts fit for a king. Matthew and Luke were compelled to tell the story of how others were compelled by the Holy Spirit to tell the story of the Savior. 4,000 years of preparation for the greatest event. The birth was celebrated by the angels also. And I am compelled to tell of his birth too. Allow me to summarize what the prophets and the angels and the apostles said at that time. God, who in ages past created this world, became a man at the birth of Jesus. He was a man who had all the grace and truth of God. He was the light of the world, and the darkness has not put out that light. He came as a savior from sin. He came as a redeemer to buy us back to God. He is a man. He is the son of Abraham. He is the son of David. He is the son of Adam. Born in Bethlehem in the city of David. He is King of Kings and he is Lord of Lords. He is the rightful ruler of my life. And if any person will receive him into their life, they can be made a child of God. He came to die to shed his blood, to die as my substitute. And if I believe that he died in my place, it will be counted as if I've never sinned. If I make him king and ruler of my life, he will reign as Prince of Peace in my life, and I will know his peace. I need to turn from sin and self and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ alone. In a quiet suburban home in Sydney, there sits on a mantelpiece trophies for public speaking from a very promising young man. Seemingly confident Jeff, who won these awards, is no longer around because Jeff took his own life and left behind a broken-hearted family. In Oxford, England, Olivia had just finished her final exams at Oxford University, and they decided to have a party, and Olivia mixed heroin with her drinking. At 2:30 a.m. she laid down to sleep. 5 hours later, they found her dead. Second only to road accidents, suicide is the cause of death of young people in our Western world. Some time ago on a TV program, Too Young to Die, an Australian girl who had tried to commit suicide many times was asked why she did it. She said, "At that time, I was looking for something through drugs and couldn't find it. It was a sort of ultimate peace." People will do anything to find peace, and they will self-destruct if they can't find it. And those who don't self-destruct are harried and rushed and arguing so that they find no peace and their stressed bodies are being worn. Peace isn't found in technology. We've landed someone on the moon, but we can't solve the problem of wars on earth. Neither is peace found in affluence. Olivia had everything that money could buy, but she still turned to drugs. Len, a basketball player, shows that peace cannot be found in success. At the height of his career, a young athlete, he died of heart failure caused by cocaine intoxication. Many outwardly successful people have never discovered peace. What is peace? Peace is a rest in our souls. Peace is a contentment in our heart. Peace is a serenity that pervades our lives. It is a situation in life where I found my niche. I know where I belong. I know what my purpose is. I'm no longer striving for control. I trust the one who is in control. Please allow me to cut the chase for you. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He said in John 14, in verse 27, "My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." You won't find peace in our culture. There are all kinds of careers that offer peace, or possessions that offer peace, or religions that offer peace, or activities and pastimes that offer peace, but they are all mirages. Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest to your souls." Ultimately, Jesus is going to bring world peace, for we read in Isaiah 2 and verse 4, "He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." But if Jesus is not your Lord and Savior, you won't find that inner peace now, and nor will you be able to see that time when there is a world peace, a peace amongst the nations. The greatest events of history center around Jesus Christ, his birth, his death, his resurrection, and his coming again. One man writes, "At the time of Jesus' birth, the people of his day were looking for a king that could push out the Roman Empire. They were looking for a material king." And today's world is not that much different. Christmas has mostly become party time, when in this materialistic culture, we give gifts to each other, we who need nothing else. Don't neglect the spiritual. History's next greatest event will be the return of Jesus Christ, Are you going to be caught up to meet him in the air? Or will you be left behind to face the judgments that await this present world and all the judgments that follow that? To stand before God at his great white throne judgment. The Bible says, it's appointed unto man once to die and then the judgment. How can you be sure that Jesus is coming again? Well, the same prophets who told of his first coming and were vindicated, proven right, also tell of his second coming. Prophecy is so sure that it is future history, written before it happens. The best gift that I could give anyone here today is the gift of Jesus Christ. Romans 10 and verse 9 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And then with me, you'll be compelled to tell of how great a Savior he is to you also. Praise God. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, I pray, I know you've been working tonight. It's been such a wonderful night. Thank you for all the items and all the people that have contributed to the evening. Bless you, Father. And we've come here with glad hearts and with joy in our hearts, and we've heard of Jesus Christ. And we've heard of him coming, him dying, and him rising again. I'm wondering, Lord, have you touched any life, someone here tonight that needs to turn to Jesus as Savior? Are you drawing them? Is something throbbing in their heart saying, this is true. I must come to Jesus tonight. I must know him as my Savior. Oh, Lord, I pray that you would draw people tonight. I pray that anyone who is wanting to know him would come and chat to me. I pray that you'd bless them in that. So, Lord, I pray that you would save some as your word goes out with power. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.